Good morning. Welcome to Sunday morning worship. We are Carey Baptist Church and we're gathered here on this Advent Sunday together to bring glory and thanks to our Creator and Redeemer, to encourage each other in our faith. What could be simpler? What could be more challenging? Let's take a few moments to welcome our Zoomers now. I'm not sure how many Zoomers we got this morning, but it's good to have them be able to join us from home, because they can't join us down here. So we've got Rosemary and Teen, Mizpah, Pat and Norman. We've got Rita and possibly Peter. So yeah, welcome. Good morning. Good to see you all. Thanks for the wave. Brilliant. Now, let's be quiet for a moment. Can you hear that?
Can we turn it up at all?
No.
No.
I can't hear anything either, actually. That's the thing. Advent has started quietly, imperceptibly, without fanfare, as usual. The shops have been celebrating Christmas for months, or weeks, certainly. But this is where we begin our journey to Christmas in earnest. Let's be quiet for a moment. As we come before the Lord, there's a lot we could say about all that's happened, all that's unfolded this week, but I think actually silence would be better. We know what might lie ahead. Well, we don't really know what lies ahead, but we know that God, the Lord, will be with us and goes ahead with us into this future, whatever it holds. The Lord will be with us. Let's be quiet for a moment. Praise to our Lord and King, the light of the world. He has come and he is coming. So Heavenly Father, we pray, calm us to wait for the gift of Christ. Cleanse us to prepare the way for Christ. Teach us to contemplate the wonder of Christ. Touch us to know the presence of Christ. Anoint us to bear the life of Christ. Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you that you're amongst us and within us by your Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening song, I feel, is a very appropriate one for Advent Sunday. Great is the darkness that covers the earth. And then we'll be singing a new song that we've learned recently, thanks to Andre, I Will Trust My Saviour, Jesus. But first of all, great is the darkness that covers the earth.
Nations are slipping in hope.
will trust my Saviour Jesus.
Jesus, only Jesus, may my heart be ever yours. Jesus, only Jesus, help me trust you more and more. Jesus, only Jesus, may my heart be ever yours.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Andre, for teaching us that new song. Thanks, Clifford and Charlene, Aki and Colin, for helping us in our worship this morning as well. Yeah, we're going to now light our first Advent candle. I originally asked Anne if she could come and help us to do this. Anne is one of the ones who has again helped us with the Christmas decorations. They're not quite finished yet, but we'll be continuing on with those Christmas decorations shortly. But I've asked Judy to come and represent Anne to light our first Advent candle for us. Thank you, Judy. Just before I do that, let me just give you the matches. There we go, there's the matches. And before we light, I'll just read this from the prophet Isaiah. Get yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion, bearer of good news. Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God, the Advent God of creation. As we light our first candle, we give thanks to God for the gift of his bounteous creation, celebrating its diverse life and wondrous beauty. Thank you, Judy. We know that all created life should be enabled to flourish as God intended, and yet often our actions do not treat it with value. So as we face this climate crisis together, we lament the ways in which creation has been stifled and altered by our actions. And yet we also give thanks for the hope we find in the Creator as we wait for God to visit us again. As we light this candle together, it's an act of hope, an act of faith. And I'm just conscious that Anne, who was going to light this candle for us this morning, has been through a lot this year. So actually, we're kind of praying with her and her family. She was due to be here, but Tony has just wrenched his back, so we need to pray for Anne and for Tony. Continue to pray for them this week. So let us pray together. We pray for all who work to renew our environment, to reverse the years of neglect and abuse and bring hope, love and light to the world. We commit ourselves to play our part in protecting this most precious of gifts and to lift up our voices mightily, to call on all to do more to care for creation. And Lord, Heavenly Father, we lift up our voices to pray for Anne and Tony and the family this morning. Lord, we pray that they would know your hope. Hope of new life, day by day. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We're now going to sing our Advent song, the one we usually sing to the Holly and the Ivy tune most years. We've certainly sung it for the last few years. So we're just going to sing the first verse a couple of times. Within the deepest darkness, a glowing light is lit. The darkness cannot put it out or do away with it. Within the deepest darkness, a glowing light is lit. The darkness cannot put it out or do away with it. Now, Margaret is going to bring us some notices. Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you. Good morning and a very warm welcome to our service. I hope you're finding it a little bit warmer on the inside than it is on the outside today. And there will be refreshments available after the service in the Memorial Hall and a time of fellowship. Our regular activities are detailed in the news sheet. Hopefully you've either received those via email, or if you need a hard copy, there are copies both at the front and the side entrances. So please pick those up and I spot the differences for this week. I'll bring out
very walkies today,
for your attention.
Not with the snow.
This is the start of Advent. On Saturday, the 4th of December, we plan to meet outside the front of the church here at 2 p.m. and sing carols. Let people know that Advent is here. And we often leave this till a Thursday during...
I'm bicycled there in the church.
In Marlowe's.
Surely it isn't.
We're going to try something a bit different and let people know that we're starting to celebrate now and look forward to the birth of Christ. There is also on Sunday, between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m, a Christmas fair at St Mary's Church. Now, typically, although Kerry will have...
It's not a bike, it's drums.
Part of that time is coinciding with our own...
Drums.
Can't help let Colin know. You would hear last week or the week before that, sadly, Wynne Clark passed away. And I want to draw your attention to the service of thanksgiving for our dear sister. On the Tuesday, the 7th of December, here at 1:45 p.m. So if you are able to join us and you know when, please do. And also a little change to our regular Christmas activities. Rather than having carols by candlelight, this year we're going to have an Advent carol service next Sunday morning at 10:30. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. Yeah, thank you. Just a couple of other quick notices to mention. The Old Town Nativity Trail will be starting, being launched actually at St Mary's Church this afternoon, which I'll be taking part in. Look out for these posters. If you've got any children or grandchildren who might be interested, there's a number of shops that have got the kind of posters that they can colour in as part of this competition. And there'll be stickers to collect from all the shops taking part as well. So look out for those. Also, of course, we've got our Christmas invitations for people to give out. So if you'd like to pick up one and pray for who you could invite along to our services, that'd be wonderful. One other thing that I hadn't planned to mention, but I just noticed in the coffee lounge, we now have Jill Wilson's piano. That was delivered to us. Thanks to the good offices of Kathleen, sorted that out. But Jill Wilson has gifted this piano to us. And so we celebrate her memory this morning. So, yeah. Now we're going to bring our offering forward and give thanks to God. Heavenly Father, on this Advent Sunday, we offer you our heartfelt thanks for the gift of your Son, Jesus, to our world. We know there is nothing we can give that is enough to say thank you, but we do offer these gifts and ourselves and cry glory. And now we pray for Youth Church. We pray that you shine your light on our young people and on us all. Amen. So Youth Church is now going to go out during this next hymn, which is 144 in Baptist Praise and Worship. O come, Emmanuel. And I'm going to hand over, very grateful to Shammy, who's going to lead the rest of our service this morning. So O come, Emmanuel.
Thank you. morning, church. Hope you can hear me all right. So let me echo Colin's words. A warm welcome to you on behalf of Gary Baptist Church. And even the ones who had come for the first time, especially Shivan, our friend, who had helped Aki on his way to Christ. So more welcome. And thank you all for being here this morning to praise the Lord as our big Christian family. We are going to have our first reading. Hilary is going to read to us from 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Thanks, Hilary.
Hezekiah, king of Judah. In the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. He removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made, for up to that time, the Israelites had been burning incense to it. It was called Nehushtan. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept the commands of the Lord that the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. From watchtower to fortified city, he defeated the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Hilary. We're going to sing our next hymn to praise the Lord. It's on Baptist Praise and Worship, hymn number 103, and Robert is going to help us with the song. It's called Open This Book.
Okay,
thank you.
We're going to have our next reading. David is going to read from 2 Kings chapter 20 from 1 to 11, which should be the message.
Two Kings, chapter 20, starting at verse 1, found on page 392 of the New Bible. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says, put your house in order, because you are going to die, you will not recover." Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. "Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. "Go back and tell Hezekiah, the ruler of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father, David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my sake, and for the sake of my servant David." Then Isaiah said, "Prepare a poultice of figs." They did so and applied it to the boil, and he recovered. Hezekiah had asked Isaiah, "What will be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I will go up to the temple of the Lord on the third day from now?" Isaiah answered, "This is the Lord's sign to you, that the Lord will do what he has promised. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps, or shall it go back 10 steps? It is a simple matter for the shadow to go forward 10 steps, said Hezekiah. Rather, let it go back 10 steps. Then the prophet Isaiah called on the Lord, and the Lord made the shadow go back 10 steps. It had gone down on the stairway of Ahaz. May the Lord bless this to us.
Yeah, always it's a pleasure to share God's word. I'll try to make it as quickly as I could. It's a lovely morning. God is going to show us something really exciting. I am excited. And I was speaking to Robert. Robert wanted something inspiring. So I asked the Lord, it's not me who's preaching to you, it's the Lord preaching to you and me both. God, give us something inspiring. And he is going to give us something inspiring. You would have noticed we had two readings from the Old Testament. You'd have wondered, Chami, you're breaking all the traditions of this church. Where is the Old New Testament reading? I have good news for you. New Testament is you, yourselves. That's how God, you are the new covenant. Jesus called you friends. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, let's crack on. I'm going to start this with a little few seconds story. When I was in Sri Lanka, one of my aunties who lives in Canada at the moment was in Sri Lanka as well for holiday. At the same time we were there. And she's the one who gave me this Bible, probably about 30 years ago. And now it's coming to pieces, as you would see with all the colors and all that. But she asked me this question when we were chatting. He said, "Chamio," that's how she calls me. She loves our family so much. She asked me, "Why do we pray for someone for healing if the Lord is will for that person to be called home? If God's will is for that person to die, why do you guys pray? Why do you guys waste your time on prayers?" Hit me hard though, as always. So, did not have an answer. So, as I always do, I ask the question from the Lord. He is so faithful, he is amazing. And that's one of the things that we all should do. First of all, we ask our friends, before we ask our family, even before us, our pastor, who's a lovely person, who's always helpful, even before we post it online nowadays, we must ask the Lord, and we'll sit to him. He didn't answer me immediately, but he showed me one of the passages. Up to now, I trust it's God's word. And when I was asking, what should I share with you this Sunday, the 28th, he showed me this passage. I thought, okay, Lord, I will share that. This is a very serious thing, though. But he said, just share it, and I'll do the rest. So I'm not talking, it's the Lord who's talking to you and me both. Yeah, let's, back to the story. And what Hillary and David read. When Hillary read, I just wanted to, for you to know that bit, what kind of a king Hezekiah was. That's why we read from 18, 2 Kings 18, to show you he was not a bad king, though, but he was not perfect, just like you and me. Usually the scriptures introduce the kings or the rulers at the start, saying, here is an evil king, he is a wicked king, he did evil things in the eyes of the Lord. I mean, you would have seen in scriptures. Doesn't say anything like that in Hezekiah. Also what Hillary read, and there were some interesting things in there. Hezekiah honored the Lord, he did God's will, and when this was read, because how the Lord spoke to me, I titled this message, What Would Change God's Will? What could change God's will, or what would change God's will? And when Hillary read at the bottom of it, at the last few lines, did you notice that King Hezekiah destroyed the bronze snake, what God asked Moses to make? Hezekiah had to break that. Why? Because people started worshipping that snake, that idol, which was made by human hands, instead of looking at it to get healed. People, Israel, starts burning incense for that. Happens to us nowadays. God showed me in that little part, Chami, you guys do the same. You forget when I bless you with blessings, the blessing becomes our God, and we forget who has given us. So Hezekiah had to powder that snake. It's just a little part. But later on what David read on the 2 Kings 20, that's the crux of the matter this morning. So keep your fingers on that chapter, or the techies, keep that on your screen, who's going through it. Because my words, as I always say, not powerful at all. It's God's word we are looking at, God's word what we read, and God's word we are going to talk about. So what happened? Let's picture that scene in our minds, in the royal court, in the palace. Here is King Hezekiah sitting there, but he was ill. Isn't that what your Bible says? So the Bible tells us those King Hezekiah became ill, and watch this. The scripture says he was at the point of death. When I read that, God reminded me of my auntie's question. Chami, you know, look at, king is going to die. And here comes the great prophet Isaiah. Colin read something at the first from Isaiah before we lit the Advent candle. He's a great, great prophet, awesome prophet. Everyone knows that. Here he comes through the outer court, middle court, into the inner court where Hezekiah, I don't know whether he was sitting or lying down because he was ill. Here he comes and says, this is what the Lord says. Put your house in order because you're going to die. Statement, you're going to die. You will not recover. He's adding that. Just imagine somebody's here dying, he was sick. A prophet comes and telling him, you're not going to recover, you're going to die. So look at this very carefully. This is called studying the scriptures diligently. I do that because God has a promise. If you study your scriptures diligently, I'm going to reveal myself to you. And I really want to know the Lord more and more. So Isaiah was not telling Hezekiah, put your house in order to prevent his death. God has already decided that. But he was going to die anyway, wasn't it? That's what your Bible says. put your house in order because you're going to die. God had already decided that, and he assures that, says the king would not recover. Then he walks away. Why do I say that Isaiah walks away? Because in verse 4, it says he was at the time passing the middle court. So let's picture that he comes to Hezekiah, says this, and he just walks away. So he was passing the middle court. As soon as Isaiah started walking away, what did King Hezekiah do? If I was at the bed, that bed, or if I was sick, somebody comes, a prophet or a man of God, Obed comes to me and tell me, here's what the Lord says, you're not going to recover. I would have called, Obed, what else did God say? Come on, man, how many days I'm going to live? Oh, could I do this? Could I do that? Can I go to Cary Baptist Church at least for one more Sunday? Is that what Hezekiah did? Look at your Bibles carefully. No. The king knew who was in charge. That's the place where we should not miss. We should know who's in charge. These are just trivial matters in this world. Jesus said, you are my soldiers. You don't get in all in these civilian affairs. Do what my word is saying. So king, what did King Hezekiah? He turned to the Lord. Every word he wanted to ask Isaiah or tell Isaiah, he told the Lord. Your scripture says, King Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. You know, the king, even Isaiah knew King was a good king. He didn't even deny. He didn't even tell Isaiah, you know what I have done. I powdered that snake what you guys were worshipping. See, I am faithful to the Lord. He didn't say anything. He said to the Lord, remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Does your Bible say anything else or any other word for this wept bitterly? But I would call it repentance. I'm not sure the other versions has. My Bible says he wept bitterly. And the Lord showed me, Chami, when was the last time you wept at my feet? Reminded me, yes, I wept for my financial, or said, Lord, can you increase my salary a bit next week? And or my grievances about my illnesses, you know, I have this sciatica, it's killing me, I cannot even pray. No, when was the last time you wept for your sins? When was the last time you came, or we came to the Lord and say, Lord, we are so sorry. You have given us so much, but we let you down. This is what true repentance is. We bitterly hate what we have done because God says, I'm not going to remember your sins. We are so sorry, Lord, starting new. This is what God sees. Not only granting your wishes, he's even changing his will. See what happens next in verse 4. So before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of Lord came to him. So Hezekiah is praying, turning his face to the wall. Isaiah is just leaving. Great prophet, you know what he is, as he was like. And when he was just passing the middle court, the word of Lord came back to him and said, go back and tell Hezekiah, my ruler of my people, this is what the Lord God of your father David says. I have heard your prayer, seen your tears, I will heal you. Isaiah would have thought, what? God? God would have said, no, hang on, Isaiah, I have more for you. And God continues, on the third day from now on, you'll go up to the temple. So he's telling Hezekiah already. He's telling Isaiah to tell Hezekiah, you'll go up to the temple. I will add 15 more years to your life. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king Assyria. I will defend this city for my sake and the sake of my servant David. Isaiah, if I was Isaiah, I would have Lord, I just told this guy he's going to die a few seconds ago. How could you just change your mind? I'm the great prophet. How many things you have said through me and come to pass, and you asking me to go back? Isaiah was a man of God. I'm sure he would have said, okay, God, I'll go and tell him. So he went and told him. And how amazing is that, though? See, this is where the sovereignty of God comes in. God, he is God. He can do whatever he wants. How many times we tend to forget that he is God? How many times we question God, forgetting that he is the Almighty? He can do whatever he pleases. We were even created by him. He can do whatever he thinks is good for us. We may not realize it. Especially when the scripture says, man makes plans in his heart. We make so many plans. Yesterday, me and Utpala make so much of plan. Not a single was accomplished. Completely other way around, but we enjoyed every bit of the other plan as well. Man makes plan in his heart, but the Lord directs the steps. That's what the scripture says. What we can do is only ask humbly. He is the God Almighty. That's the message, but I just want to show you something else as well. So, as David read, Isaiah applied some, I mean, I would call him Dr. Isaiah. He applied something to his boil, and Hezekiah got healed. And that's kind of like the end. Hezekiah got healed, and he got the promise. 15 more years, like a bonus, I think. He just asked for healing. 15 more years, you're going to the temple, and you're going to defeat the king of Assyria, and so much. And God's saying, I'm not doing it only for you, I'm doing it for my sake. Isn't that great? So because God is delighted when we are doing well. And have you noticed the other part? When everything happens, King Hezekiah, after this miraculous thing, I mean, Hezekiah is asking Isaiah, can you ask the Lord to give a sign? You know, I'm not very sure. Isn't that what we do sometimes? We want everything materialized for us to believe, isn't it? And God says something, puts something in the scripture in our mind. We are a bit doubtful. After all this, can you believe Hezekiah asking Isaiah, can you ask the Lord to give me a sign that I'm going to get healed? Of course, David read that. I'm not going to read it again. What was the sign about the steps? And he did the most difficult sign. God is awesome. He's long-suffering. He knows he created this side of people. So he's not going to say, I healed you. I'm not going to give you a sign. You believe it or not. No, he's not. He's a loving God. His love is unconditional. He knows. Jesus knew our faith. That's why Jesus said, if you have a faith of as little as a mustard seed, tell this mountain, move from here and go there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Do we believe that? Jesus is the truth. He won't lie. He'd never lie because he cannot lie. But will we go and tear the mountain in Astridge or go and plant somewhere around in Berkhamsted? And will we watch that? That little faith we don't have. But God knows that. Jesus knows that. But the beauty is, when we serve the Lord in that mindset that he's the Almighty, he gives our desires, not only our needs. Yes, according to his will. He is someone who has given his only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins, that we might live with him forever. We were created to have the relationship, not only until we die, even after our death, eternity with him. What else will he withhold from us? Praise be to God. Thank you for listening. And all glory and honor to God. Right. We're going to sing, Yes, Not I, But Christ in Me. Thank you.
What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and endless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can see it. All is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hold, my Shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley He will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to everlasting grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever my to plead. Oh, the chains are released, I can see it. I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
With every breath
I long to follow Jesus, for He has said that He will bring me home. And day by day I know He will renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
To this I hold, my hope
is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my life shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet no but I to Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Yet not I, but through Christ in me. That's beautiful. Thanks, Charlene. Thanks, Andre. And Cliff, Lucky, thank you very much. We're going to have a bit of prayer time with the Lord. As you know, He is here in the person of the Holy Spirit. So let's get connected to Him. I'm going to mention a few names in our prayers, but it's you and the Lord. It's nothing to do with anyone else. You're in His house. Shout your problems to Him. Tell your problems, your praises, everything to Him. So let's bow our heads in prayer and be quiet at His feet for a few minutes. Our loving, righteous Father, You're an awesome God. You're the Almighty God. You're the Creator of heaven and earth. And You have given us through Jesus Christ the blessing of calling You our Abba Father. Thank You so much, Lord. Help us to understand that Your love is unconditional. We cannot do anything to earn that love, Lord. You have given it to us already. By demonstrating Your love, You gave Your only begotten Son, Lord Jesus Christ, our loving Savior, to die on the cross for our sins, who knew no sin, Lord. Really, we have no words to thank You, Lord. Our mere words are not enough. And we want to thank You from the bottom of our heart this morning, saying that we love You, Lord. And we come to You in repentance as well. We are so sorry for the things we've done to hurt You, for the moments that we let You down. We've been unfaithful to You, but You have never ever been unfaithful to us. You've been always been faithful, giving us the best, Lord. We repent bitterly at Your feet, Lord, and help us, asking Your help, Holy Spirit of God, help us never to repeat the sins what we have done. Help us never to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but to live life pleasing in Your eyes, worthy of our calling, worthy of our saving, Lord. Help us this morning, Lord, to be happy and rejoice in You, knowing, irrespective of what we are going through, You have the ultimate decision. You are the Almighty. And You have plans to prosper us, Lord. You have no plans to harm us. So, loving Father, we hand over this church, our dear brothers and sisters who are gathered here in person and in Zoom, Lord. And also the people who will be listening to this later on. Bless them so richly. Help us to flourish in Your name, Lord Jesus. Help us to grow in Your word, knowing that You're a God who will always be with us. Loving Father, we want to hand over a few people in this morning, Lord. We want to hand over our dear brother Ray Clark and family, when our dear sister Wynne has gone to be with You, Lord. Bless this family so richly that they'll experience Your comfort in times of need. We pray for our dear sister Lucille, Lord, who's unwell this morning. Bless her with Your almighty power that she'll be healed soon. Also, we pray for our dear brother Ian, Pauline's son, with Your almighty power. Bless him, Lord. And everyone else who we think of at this prayer time, Lord, who we think of the name or picture that person, or the people in our minds, touch them with Your almighty power right at this moment, Lord, that they will feel Your power. They will know that someone is praying for them. Our loving Father, we thank You so much for Your word that You taught all of us, and You keep on teaching us, Lord. Holy Spirit of God, You're our teacher, our comforter and our helper. And we hand over rest of the day into Your loving hands, Lord, for us to live for You. Enjoy that relationship with You, Lord. Whatever happens next few minutes or hours, to know that You're the Almighty God. You have Your hand upon us. We are in Your loving arms, Lord, that no one can even touch us. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, loving Father, with so much of gratitude and love in our hearts, we hand all these prayers into your loving hands in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our loving Savior. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. At the end of service, me and Charlene will be here for anyone who needs personal prayers, and it'll be really private, whatever you share. It'll be just we and the Lord, and we are going to hand all those into the hands of the Lord. And so feel free to come along if you have any prayer request. He's the Almighty. He's waiting for you. That's the beauty of it. We're going to sing our next hymn. Robert is going to help us. And hymn number 318 and Baptist Praise and Worship, Sing We the King. Over to you, Robert. We're going to sing four verses, I think. Praise the Lord. Before we sit down, let's share the blessing. Thank you, Robert and Graham, too. Yeah, let's say the blessings and share the blessing with each other, which is an amazing privilege, I think. Now may the grace of Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Go in peace.